Have you ever noticed something strange about riding a bike? We spend thousands of dollars on a machine that lets us get away from everyone else. Then the moment another rider comes the other direction, we wave. If your bike breaks down, we hope another rider stops. If we see someone on the shoulder, we usually do. Sometimes the activity that looks the most solitary from the outside has one of the strongest senses of community I've ever experienced. That doesn't really make sense. And maybe that's because we've been asking the wrong question. People ask, why do so many riders like to ride alone? I think the better question is, why doesn't riding alone feel lonely? Because those are two different things. Today, I want to explore something I think most riders understand, but almost never talk about. There's something happening in motorcycle culture that goes way beyond motorcycles. And once you see it, you'll start noticing it everywhere. Welcome back, Renegades, for another hangout. In our hangouts, we discuss stories from the saddle, motorcycling experiences, and biker-related topics.
Let's get to it.
If you're new here, welcome. Around here, we don't just ride, we go a little deeper. If you watched the last episode, we asked a question that seems almost ridiculous when you really think about it. Why do complete strangers trust each other on motorcycles? Not because we know each other, not because we belong to the same club, not because we ride the same brand. We trust each other because we all understand something that people outside motorcycling usually don't. Shared risk changes people. If you haven't seen that episode yet, don't worry, this conversation stands out on its own. But by the end, you'll see how these two ideas fit together. Because trust is only the beginning. Once people share enough experience, something else starts to happen. They begin to belong, even when nobody else is around. That sounds contradictory. Stay with me. Motorcycles have always carried this image of the lone wolf. You know the picture. One rider, an empty highway, mountains in the distance, no schedule, no phone ringing, no meetings, no notifications, just you and the road. It's an incredible image. It's also incomplete, because here's what usually happens. You're riding through the middle of nowhere, convinced you've escaped civilization for a while. Another rider appears. You both wave. Neither of you slows down. Neither of you knows the other's name. 5 seconds later, you both disappeared over separate horizons. And somehow, that tiny interaction changes your mood. Why? You didn't make a new friend. You didn't have a conversation. You exchanged less information than two people passing each other in a grocery store. Yet, it somehow feels meaningful. That's weird. Think about walking through the shopping center. How many strangers do you make eye contact with? How many do you acknowledge? Almost none. Now, think about motorcycles. One tiny wave from someone you've never met can completely change the next 50 miles. Why? It's not because riders are unusually friendly. Some are, some definitely are not. You've met them too. The guy who looks like smiling would violate his warranty. The rider who acts like your motorcycle personally offended him because it has the wrong logo on the tank. Motorcycles don't magically eliminate human personalities. So there has to be something else going on. Something deeper than just nice people. And that's where psychology starts getting really interesting. One ride in particular comes to mind. I was on my way home after a long solo day in the saddle. I stopped for one last tank of gas, less than an hour from home. That last stretch can be the hardest part of the ride. The excitement of the day is almost behind you, your back is sore, your butt is reminding you exactly how long you've been sitting in a saddle. You're starting to think more about getting home than enjoying the ride. After I filled up, I headed inside to grab a drink. I walked toward the door. Another rider was coming at me. We never exchanged a single word. He looked at me, gave me a wink, a nod, and a big thumbs up. I smiled, nodded back, and that was it. Maybe 2 seconds, but something changed. In that moment, I wasn't alone anymore. He saw me. Not just another customer walking into a gas station. He saw another rider finishing a long day on the road. He understood exactly where I was without either of us saying a word. When I pulled back onto the highway, I noticed something. My back hadn't stopped hurting. The seat hadn't magically gotten any softer. There was still another hour to the ride, but somehow none of that was what I was thinking about anymore. Instead, I found myself smiling. I was back to appreciating the ride instead of counting down the miles until I got home. Why does a 2-second interaction with someone you've never met have that kind of effect? I don't think it's actually that odd, and researchers who study human behavior would probably say it isn't. Because long before motorcycles existed, our brains were already wired for something that explains exactly what's happening out on the road. And once you understand it, the biker wave starts to make a whole lot more sense. We'll get to that next. Let's leave motorcycles for just a minute. Thousands of years before engines, helmets, and leather jackets, human beings had already figured something out. Going alone was dangerous. Belonging meant survival. If you were separated from the group, life got a whole lot harder in a hurry. Our modern lives are obviously different. If I wander away from Costco, nobody assumes I'm becoming food for a saber-toothed tiger. Although finding my wife after we split up in a Costco can feel like a survival exercise. The point is this. Our brains haven't changed nearly as fast as our world has. Researchers who study social psychology have found that people naturally sort themselves into groups. Once we identify with a group, even loosely, we begin to think in terms of us. We don't have to know every member personally to feel connected to them. Think about sports fans. Two people wearing the same team's hat at an airport can strike up a conversation like they've known each other for years. Military veterans often describe an instant connection with someone who served, even if they never crossed paths. People wearing shirts from the same university do it. Car enthusiasts do it. Corvette owners have their wave. But motorcycles? Motorcycles take it to another level. Because being a rider isn't just an interest. It's an experience. Every rider knows what it's like to wonder if that dark cloud is moving your direction. Every rider has felt the relief of spotting a gas station just before that low fuel light starts to become a problem. Every rider has that moment where crosswinds remind you that physics is always paying attention. You don't have to explain those things to another rider. They already know. That's the difference. One of my favorite things about riding is walking into a small town diner wearing riding gear. Maybe you're traveling, maybe you're 100 miles from home, maybe you're 500. Someone eventually asks, "Where are you headed?" It's almost never awkward. The conversation just starts, not because you're interesting, not because you're especially outgoing. The motorcycle did half the introduction for you. You've probably had conversations with riders where you've never exchanged names. You talked about roads, weather, construction, tires, the route, the bike. Then you wish each other safe travels and went opposite directions. And somehow that was enough. Imagine doing that in the cereal aisle. You walk up to someone, "So, how many miles are you covering today?" Security would become interested. Motorcycles operate under different social rules, not because they're special, because riders already have shared context. The motorcycle isn't just transportation, it's a passport into a conversation. By the way, if you're enjoying hanging out together and would like to support the channel, send a super thanks and buy a gallon of gas. It helps us keep these rides and conversations going, and I really appreciate every bit of support. Now, let's get back on the road. Here's where I think people outside the riding community misunderstand us. They see someone disappear down a highway alone. They assume the rider is escaping people. Sometimes that's true. Sometimes we all need a little quiet. But I don't think that most riders are trying to escape people. I think they're trying to escape noise. There's a difference. Noise is the constant stream of emails, deadlines, notifications, opinions, and demands competing for your attention. The road strips most of that away. What's left? The motorcycle, the weather, the road, your thoughts, and the quiet confidence that if something really goes wrong, there's a decent chance that another rider will stop. Not because they know you, because you're one of them. That realization changes the whole experience. You're physically alone, but psychologically, you never really feel abandoned. I think that's why so many people describe solo trips as peaceful instead of lonely. Peace and loneliness aren't opposites. Connection and loneliness are. And motorcycles have this remarkable way of creating connection without requiring constant conversation. That might be one of the most misunderstood parts of motorcycle culture. I remember another moment that has stuck with me for years. I was on a multi-day ride through Utah, making my way toward the Million Dollar Highway in Colorado. I stopped at Dead Horse Point State Park to take in the view. While I was there, I met another rider. He was a firefighter from New York, riding across the country to honor his brothers he had lost on September 11th. He was on his way to Bryce Canyon and Zion National Parks. We stood there overlooking one of the most incredible landscapes in the country. He told me about his journey and why he was making the ride. I still remember his name. What strikes me now isn't just his story, it's how naturally that conversation happened. If we had both been standing there in hiking boots or tennis shoes, I'm not sure we would have said any more than beautiful view. But we were on motorcycles. That was enough. There wasn't any awkward introduction, no wondering whether I should start a conversation, no feeling like I was interrupting a stranger. We were riders. That was all the introduction we needed. I didn't have a meaningful conversation with anyone else in the park that day. Hundreds of people were there, families, tourists, photographers. But the one conversation I still remember happened with another motorcyclist. Why? Because we already shared something before we ever exchanged our first words. The motorcycle didn't just give us something to talk about. It gave us a reason to talk. And I think that's one of the hidden truths about motorcycle culture. You don't have to know someone's story to recognize they're part of yours. If all the psychological stuff is true, there's another question that naturally follows. If motorcycles create this incredible sense of belonging, why do the trips themselves become some of the strongest memories we ever make? It might explain why riders can remember one day on a motorcycle 20 years later, while struggling to remember what they did three Tuesdays ago. There's another reason I think riding alone feels different than simply being by yourself. The motorcycle doesn't leave much room for pretending. When you're riding, your attention has to stay where it belongs. You have to read traffic, watch the weather, pay attention to road surface. Notice that car that's been hanging out in your blind spot a little too long. The motorcycle demands your presence, and that's a rare thing these days. Most of us spend our lives doing three things at once. We're answering a text while thinking about work, planning dinner, and wondering why we walked into the garage in the first place. Then we get on the bike. Suddenly, there's only one job, ride well. For a little while, the mental clutter starts to fade. Researchers who study attention have found that Being fully engaged in a challenging activity can create what psychologists call a flow state. It's a condition where your attention narrows, distractions fade into the background, and you become completely immersed in what you're doing. You don't have to know the term, you've probably experienced it. Maybe it was carving through a stretch of twisties where every corner linked perfectly into the next. Maybe it was crossing an empty desert highway with nothing around you but mountains and sky. Maybe it happened on a quiet back road when you suddenly realize you've been smiling for the last 20 miles. Those are the moments that remind us we're alive. Not because they were exciting, because we're completely present. I think our modern culture has quietly convinced us that being alone automatically means something is wrong. If you're eating lunch alone, people wonder if you're waiting for someone. If you go to a movie alone, people assume you couldn't find anyone to go with. If you take a vacation alone, you get questions, a lot of questions. You couldn't get anyone to come? No, I wanted this trip. Motorcyclists understand something that's becoming increasingly uncommon. Solitude and loneliness are not the same thing. Loneliness is feeling disconnected. Solitude is choosing space. One hurts, the other heals. I think motorcycles give us permission to experience solitude without feeling isolated. That's a gift, especially in a world that's louder than it's ever been. For me, this isn't something that only happens on big trips. It happens on ordinary Tuesdays. Most days I ride to work, and every now and then, if the schedule allows, I sneak away for a short ride in the middle of the day. From the outside, it probably looks like I'm just looking for an excuse to ride. And that's not entirely inaccurate, but there's more to it than that. Those rides create a transition. They give me a chance to step away from the constant stream of emails, meetings, deadlines, and everything else competing for my attention. By the time I get back, nothing has really changed. The emails are still waiting, the problems are still there, the difficult conversations haven't magically resolved themselves. The motorcycle didn't fix anything. What changed was me. Somewhere between the office and the next stop sign, I stopped replaying the problem over and over in my head. I started paying attention to the road, the weather, the traffic, the sound of the engine, the world around me instead of the noise inside my own thoughts. And when I came back, I felt more grounded, more patient, more like myself. I wasn't trying to escape my life, I was trying to reconnect with it. That's one of the biggest misconceptions about riding. People assume we're riding away from our problems. Most of the riders I know are doing exactly the opposite. They're trying to put themselves in the right frame of mind to face those problems well. And maybe that's another reason why motorcycle culture is so unique. It isn't built around escaping reality, it's built around helping each other return to it. Which brings me to something I've noticed over the years. One thing I've noticed over the many years that I've ridden is that people sometimes assume motorcycle community only exists inside organized groups, clubs, riding associations, weekly meetups, charity rides. Those are all valuable, but they're not the whole story. Some of the strongest moments of community happen when nobody planned them. A rider waves. Someone stops to help. You point out gravel with your foot. A group lets you merge into formation. Someone you've never met notices your kickstand isn't fully up. Little moments. None of them are remarkable by themselves. Together, they create a culture. It's easy to miss because there's no membership card, no attendance sheet, no official meeting. It just exists. And every rider who chooses to participate makes it a little stronger. That's one reason I always encourage new riders to wave. Not because it's a rule. Not because somebody will write you a ticket if you forget. because every wave says something much bigger. It says, I see you. And in today's world, that carries more weight than we sometimes realize. So maybe writing alone was never really the point. Maybe solitude simply makes it easier to notice something that was already there. The connection, the shared understanding, the quiet confidence that you're part of something much bigger than yourself, even if nobody is riding beside you. And once you begin seeing motorcycle culture that way, a lot of the other things start making sense. Why we wear what we wear. Why certain rides become unforgettable. Why riders help each other. Why freedom means something different on a motorcycle than it does anywhere else. Those aren't separate stories, they're all connected. And I think that's what makes this community so fascinating. There's one final thought that I want to leave you with, because I don't think motorcycles create community. I think they reveal something that was already inside us. And that might be the most surprising part of this entire conversation. So let's go back to the question we started with. Why doesn't riding alone feel lonely? I don't think it's because motorcycles replace people. I don't think it's because riders don't enjoy spending time with family or friends. I think it's because motorcycles satisfy something we've needed for thousands of years. Purpose, presence, belonging. You can ride 100 miles without saying a word to another person. Then one rider gives you a wave. Someone asks where you're headed while you're fueling up. Another rider checks to make sure you're okay after pulling onto the shoulder. None of those moments are life-changing, but together, they remind you that you're part of something. Not a club, not a brand, not a social media group, a community. One that exists because thousands of riders keep choosing to treat each other with respect. That isn't something to take for granted. Each wave, each conversation, each stop for help, every bit of encouragement to a new rider, every one of those moments keeps motorcycle culture alive. Maybe that's why riding alone doesn't actually feel lonely. Because somewhere out there, there are hundreds of people you've never met who already understand part of your story. One of the things I've enjoyed most about these hangouts is discovering so many of us have experienced the same things, even if we've never crossed paths. That's one of the reasons I wanted this series to be about more than motorcycles. It's really about people. Motorcycles just happen to be where we see it most clearly. Now, I'd like to hear from you. Can you remember the moment a complete stranger on a motorcycle made your day just a little better? Maybe they stopped to help. Maybe it was just a wave. Maybe it was a conversation at a gas station you'll never forget. Share your story down in the comments. I'll read every one of them, and they're the best part of the content on this channel. If this conversation got you thinking about why riders can feel connected to people they've never met, then the next question is obvious. Where does that trust come from in the first place? That's exactly what we explore in the first episode of this series. It's one of my favorite conversations because it uncovers something most riders recognize but rarely stop to think about. If you would like to learn more about why complete strangers trust each other on a motorcycle, stick around and hang out a while longer by clicking this video. If you'd rather get out there on the road, this video is for you. Remember, even when the road gets quiet, you're never really riding alone. I'll see you out on the road.